As we open our Sunday school time, you might like to turn in your Bible to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, and in the light of chapter 11 comes 12. And 12 has to do with the top of the final punch in it, in the light of all 11 chapters, in the light of the 11th chapter, having to do with the listing and illustration of believers who trusted God by faith. And we shared all that together. And like Hebrews 11:4, et cetera, by faith. And each thing introduces by faith. Because of faith, believing God. So you go down the corridor of time, and time has illustrated for us that people believed God, and God remembers it. God records it. God cares. Why are they even noted when there's millions of people that aren't noted? Because they exercised a relationship to God by faith. They believed God, Hebrews 11:3 in that, they believed God as the creator and God as the savior. God as the solution. God is the reason we exist. And therefore, our existence is dependent upon God, and our existence is in some awesome way to enjoy and exercise being in the presence of God. So as angels are there to enjoy God's wonderful, wonderful person, that's what they were created for, to be able to His holiness, His righteousness, God's awesome person to represent, to enjoy Him, to enjoy Him. The painter paints the painting, and then he looks at the painting, and the painting, when he looks at the painting, it reflects his work. The painting reflects his work. Creation reflects his work. The created reflect his work. So when he looks, he sees his work. He sees his wonderment when he looks. Hang on to that. Now, having said that, in that great listing and its encouragement, and it isn't because they're all human, they all have the problems everyone else has in one form or another, in the given day, under their given conditions. So they all have that. But all of them have the opportunity to trust God and know God, and therefore God notes that. The other isn't noted because Christ is going to die on the cross to condemn all that. Christ died on the cross to condemn all human effort, energy, and thus to fix everything but in his saving grace. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, wherefore, chapter 12, wherefore, therefore, remember it's all chapter 12, 1 and 2, are one sentence in the Greek, and the key verb in that sentence is let us run. Let us run. That's the key verb in the sentence. Now, so, wherefore, seeing also we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, and that's what we just went through, chapter 11, and here's just a summary list of some of the example of those that believe God. And they all did what they did in the light of, do it a different way, Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Now, who told Abraham about God? As far as we know, no one did. He lived in a pagan society, totally idolatrous. No one told Abraham about God. Abraham knew, that, as we, Romans 1, knew there was a God. So Abraham looked to God, at Genesis 15 in that, and he believed God, believed there was a God, believed the Creator. And God, he entered into a relationship with God and God's saving grace. And God counted it to him for righteousness. But, now no one told Abraham, but Abraham is an example to Abraham. Isaac, and Isaac is an example to Jacob. And Isaac and Jacob and Abraham, Exodus 3, are an example to Moses. They believed. So the witnesses. Isaac had a witness, that's Abraham. Abraham had no witness except God. And you get down the road. So now we come to Hebrews 11. All of the history of believers is here, and now we're looking back at that history, going way back to Abraham, etc., and they all are looking to God. That's what they're doing, looking to God and trusting God. That's what they did. So we're to go by faith, and faith is letting God be who he is. How are we going to, because we don't understand, we don't have any ability to grab it, any of the awesome natural laws or anything else. All we can do is receive them. We don't make them. We can just exercise them as we understand them. That's how we went to the moon. We didn't go to the moon because we made some new laws. All we did is understand that which is and begin to exercise it. So God, and there's nothing, Ecclesiastes is nothing new under the sun. So here we are looking, and Abraham, he has all these witnesses. And they're witnesses to us and for us. If you can, in verse 1, wherefore, seeing also we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, therefore, but it's our turn. And they're all there. They're all looking, as it were. They aren't looking, and we shared all that together. God, you don't want to think of, well, my mother died, and she's looking down at heaven to see how I'm doing. You don't want to think of that. I don't want to think of that. In fact, if you really follow through with that, do you know how complicated and difficult it gets to believe? It doesn't fit. It just doesn't fit. Wow. Now, so in the light of that, as all the witnesses are looking, we are admonished because of their example. We are admonished to let us lay aside every weight, anything, to get rid of anything, ready to throw off, to put off, to take off like clothes. You wouldn't want to run a marathon race with a whole bunch of clothes on. You don't want to do that. You want to shed everything you can that's an encumbrance. So that's what we're doing. Let us lay aside every weight, each and every, whatever it is that is there. The word weight is like a tumor. You could have a tumor on your body, extra, a tumor. Weight, encumbrance, whatever it is. And races, people that trained back then, the Greek in the Olympia and all of that, Olympics, our day, all of that, what do? They work very, 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 very hard at developing a given talent or given skill. That's what they do. And they give themselves to it day and night. The average person, the ordinary, normal person doesn't do that. They don't do that. That's the exceptional person to do an exceptional thing. That's what they're doing. And they give themselves food, exercise. Their life has just changed. 24 hours a day, their life is when they go to bed, when they get up, what they eat, how they eat, what they do, that discipline. And that's what they have to do in order to run, to compete. Therefore, let us lay aside every weight of that anything, whatever it is, whatever, anything, anything at all. Anything that you can shed, change, fix, that hinders the person from running, that's what you do. And if you had a good coach and you were being trained and you had a good coach, the coach would detect places that you're doing it wrong, and the coach would begin to tell you, no, you got to change this, you got to change that, you got to fix this. And you do it. Same as in baseball, I guess, and everything. Baseball, the pitcher has to have the pitcher, and here's the ball, little ball. And you have the little ball, and you can throw the little ball, but then you got to know what? You got to know all kinds of little ways to put your fingers on the ball, where the threads are, etc., to make it curve, to make the ball go into the batter's box and go up in the air. If you didn't catch that, you don't know much about baseball. The ball doesn't go up in the air. So, in the process, that's what you do. Every cumbrance, every whatever, slow. And without taking too much time on that, pride's a problem. If I have a lot of pride about anything, proud, make me locked on, stiff. If I have pride about something, do you know, here's my coach trying to help me, And I have to submit to the coach. I have to yield to the coach, to what he's doing, what he's after. Now, if I don't yield to him, then I'm not submitting. And why? Because of my pride. My pride. This is always the way I think. This is all the way that I do things. This is how I handle life. And you're trying to help them adjust so that they can run better. About their pride. Lay aside every weight, the pride, that which locks you on, so you can't change. And you have to change. And you say, well, I don't want to change. Well, if you're unsaved and you die, you pass on, you're going to find you have to change. And if you're a believer and you pass on, you're going to find you have to change. There's no choice. It's the way it is. You're going to change. So pride, the nutshell, pride. And you catch it here as we're doing it a little bit. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does go before us. Luke chapter 9. And in the Gospel of Luke, and in chapter 9, picking up, please. And in verse 22, 9 and 22, and you'll catch it a little. Verse 22, chapter 9. Saying, the Son of Man must suffer many things, and be rejected of the elders, the chief priests and scribes, and be slain, and be raised the third day. And he said unto them all, everyone, whoever was listening, didn't matter who it was, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. For reason, whosoever shall save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake shall save it. So, and the wonderful thing, God, what are you going to do? We're going to have to believe God and go. And you're going to have to go. Now, God, what are you trying to get us to do? You're trying to get us to run the race that is set before us and to run it in good faith, in by faith, by faith. You're going to look to God. We walk by faith, not by sight. And so we're going to go over back over to Hebrews chapter 12. And they lay aside every weight, denying yourself, take up your cross daily. Now, and that's an awesome thing. And you would recall, keep in mind, what does that entail? Take up your cross. Deny yourself, take up your cross. Follow. Follow me. Follow me, said the Lord. So I got to do that. And it's a change. It's a change of direction, a change in thinking. Now, in running the race, change in thinking, what am I thinking? Now, as putting Hebrews 12 together, and verse 1, wherefore seeing, therefore also we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. And easily beset us has to do with encompass us, to surround us, to squash us in. That which is encompasses, surrounds us, and hinders us. So we can't go anywhere. We can't go to the left. We can't go to the right. We can't go up. We can't go down. We're surrounded. That's what it's saying. You're completely surrounded. It's so sin is so powerful. Sin prevails to the point of our old nature, our pride, our way of thinking. So law is so powerful, it locks us in. It locks us in. It's no, you can't fight it. You can't go and try to get, I'm going to change and power of positive thinking and do all that. And, you know, that thing. Is that Norman Vincent Peale? I forget. Is it Norman Vincent Peale? I said, you, on my little journey, I think I told you this. It just meant to appeal, just to show you my wonderful influence in the government in the process. And I met a lot of people. And then here's the Dr. J. Vernon McGee, Church of the Open Door in downtown LA, big, big deal. And just down the street, on the street, is the Methodist Church. Methodist Church. And I, for some reason, I can't remember. Anyway, I sat on the steps of that Methodist Church. Here's the main street. You go up the steps to the church. I sat on the steps of that Methodist Church, and we had a wonderful little ordinary, simple chat with Norman Vincent Peale. We sat on the steps together. Very simple, wonderful time with Vincent Peale. That's what I did. I met a lot of people like that. And, wow, that's a wonderful thing. Now, but Vincent Peale, you can't do it yourself. No, I'm just going to do it. No, you aren't. You can't overcome. You can't do it. You have to do it by faith. If you're going to do it by what you understand, what you're able to do, you aren't going to do it. You're going to have to look to God. Now, having said that, and now take it, you're going to run the race that's set before you, and unbelief is the key problem. You don't believe. You need to believe. You need to let God be who he is. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, 2, and 3. You need to let God be who he is by faith. God is marvelously, wonderfully, awesomely beyond all that we can ask or think. And therefore, all we can do, we can't see him. He's invisible. We're in his presence. But if we go to the moon, we're still in his presence. And if we go 3 trillion galaxies out, where Mars is, the little thing off of whatever it is up there, is looking at the sky. He's out there. How do we handle God? By faith. By faith. God, you are awesome. He made us little pieces of dust awesomely. Now, having said that, now how are we going to run? So if I do all that, and I've had, you probably have too, maybe, in your dealing with people and board members and stuff in the IFCA and all that stuff, and in that, and said that, what do you think that verse means? Lay aside everyone, take up your cross daily. They say, what do you think that means? And what is it supposed to mean? Take up your cross daily and follow me. Now, so if we take Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, and run the race, he's the prime example. If you skip down to chapter 12, verse 3, don't ever say you can't. Don't ever say your conditions or situations are out too much. You can never, I'm a cripple, I can't even get out of bed. Don't use any excuse. Don't use it. Now, that's an awesome, what do you do with that? Because how many people are running that race? How many people run like Hebrews 12, 1 and 2? How many do you know anywhere? Pulpit, bishops, kings. How many do you know? No one. Very hard. Hard to find them, if you could. But, so therefore, there must be another window to see this, to understand it. So therefore, go with me, please, over to, Deuteronomy. Think of how many things in God's wonderful word that people, we can speak on and try to give an explanation of some kind, but it can't go anywhere besides your notebook. Because you can't practice it. You don't practice it. You don't practice it. Just a whole lot of information, like a good novel or something. Why? Because we just don't practice it. It isn't, we can't do it. Lots and too, too much of the Bible for believers. For believers, not just churchgoers, is not real. Never do anything with it. It's there, it's wonderfully there, but they can't exercise it. And since they don't exercise it, you don't see any results. You won't see them running because there's nothing to see because we don't practice it. We can say it. We're intellectually able to say it, all these wonderful truths. You'll pick it up in the morning message in John maybe. In the process, we can intellectually do it and we could preach it, but it doesn't go any farther. No further. Now, part of the problem is we need to understand the background that God is, what are you firing at God? Hebrews 12, 1, wherefore, laying aside every weight, you got to run the race that's before you. How am I going to do that? Well, then God, I have to understand, that's what you're asking for, to run like you did. How am I going to do that? Deuteronomy, and in chapter 30, Deuteronomy, chapter 17. And here's the king. And when they get a king, now remember now, here's Moses way back here. Moses back here, they haven't crossed the Jordan yet. And God's telling them about the future and how they're going to have to handle it. And they wouldn't see this for nothing. But God's telling them what they're going to have to face. And it's coming. It's coming. We don't see it coming. It's coming. Therefore, they're going to have it want a king. Verse 14. When thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, and shall possess it, and shall dwell therein, and shall say, I will set a king over me, like as all the nations that are about me. That's 1 Samuel chapter 8. That's a long way off. But God said, it's coming. It's coming. You're going to want a king. They don't want a king. They don't even think about a king. They will want one. And thus, to be a wise king, verse 15, etc. I must read it. Thou shalt say, and thou shalt in any wise set him king over thee, whom the Lord thy God shall choose. That ultimately is David, and then David's rejected. So you, whom the Lord, who chose one over among thy brethren, shall thou set a king over thee? Thou mayest not set a stranger over thee, which is not thy brother. Must be one of you. And he shall not multiply horses to himself, nor cause the people to return to Egypt, to the end that ye should multiply horses, and forasmuch as the Lord has said unto you, ye shall henceforth return no more that way. In other words, you don't do the world system. Verse 17. God, how's the king going to survive? Neither shall he multiply wives to himself, which they did, that his heart turn not away. Neither shall he greatly multiply himself silver to silver and gold, which sometimes they did. Verse 18, how are you going to overcome? How am I going to ever do? Be a king in God's will. It shall be when he sitteth upon the throne of his kingdom that he shall write him a copy of this law in a book. In a book. Out of that which is before the priests, the Levites, that's the Moses, Exodus, etc. That's which is we're reading it. Verse 19. And it shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life. Why? That he may learn to fear the Lord his God, to keep all the words of this law and all these statutes to do them, that his heart be not lifted up above his brethren, humbled, and that he turn not aside from the commandment to the right hand or to the left, to the end, that he may prolong his days in his kingdom, he and his children in the midst of Israel. So, how's the king going to stay steady? He's going to read every day out of the book Genesis to Deuteronomy. Every day, you read. Why am I doing that? So that I stay steady, stay on course. Now, and having said that, to keep that on course. So I'm looking to God, trusting God, and not turning to the right or left, but staying on course. So God, I need to be God conscious. Always God, I'm in his presence, always God conscious. Always. You're never there without your security. Wherever you think of a president or somebody dignitary, and wherever he goes, there's the cars in front, the cars in back, and the people around him. And wherever he goes to sit down, they're standing around, all standing there. He's always conscious of what? The people around him, his security. You're always to be conscious of God. Always conscious of God. Why? Ephesians. Genesis. And in And in Genesis chapter 2, keeping in mind, and in Genesis chapter 2, reminding us the beginning. God, here we are on planet Earth, and we have a wonderful, wonderful position. You've created it, Genesis 1, 1 and 2, for us to be on planet Earth, to enjoy an exercise of physical existence in time, to enjoy spiritual existence in your eternity. Now, so, here's the created. Remember the end of verse 1, chapter 1, verse 31. God saw that everything that he had made, behold, it was very good, and the evening and the morning were the sixth day. So everything's very good. So what are you going to do when everything is finished, your painting is done? What do you do? Here's your painting, using that again. Now, chapter 2 and in verse 1. Then, thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his work, which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. He rested, ceased, stopped, rested, finished. Painting's finished. Paintbrush is put down. Verse 3. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it because, why? Because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. God was finished. He created us in his image and likeness. He gave us the wonderful to rule the earth, Genesis 1. No. He gave us the assignment. He gave us everything. The world is conditioned. The field is there, all created, and we're put in the field to play the game of life, as it were. So here we are. And he rested on the seventh day. Everything in the painting is finished. All finished. The whole thing is done. So God, are you going to add some more? No, no more. It all has to be outworked in a most wonderful, wonderful way. That which I put out has to, the trees have to grow. Everything has to work out. Genesis, the beginning, underline, Genesis, the beginning, Revelation, the conclusion. What I start in Genesis, I'm going to finish in Revelation. I have a wonderful plan to do. All of it has to be outworked. I rested. It's all done. Wonderfully, wonderfully, wonderfully done. Now, we said that. Yeah, I said it. I'd have to let that, for the umpteenth time, sink into my little head. He rested on the seventh day from all his work. He's finished. What are you going to do, God? I'm going to know, I want my people, not the unsaved world, they don't care, but Israel is to be a nation to show the nations of the world what it's all about. So therefore, God created Israel, as you know, by way of Abraham. And Israel's there. Now, what does Moses do when Israel is getting the law in the light of God's grace? Getting the law, what are they going to do? They're going to go in the Ten Commandments, Exodus 20. They're going to go and make sure on the seventh day they rest. That's what they want to do. Rest, same thing. Seventh day, you're going to rest. I want you to know that your whole Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday is there because I have it there. I want that outworked. I want that outworked in a most wonderful, wonderful way, to have that outworked for my honor and my glory. Now, having said that, and I want you to never forget that, therefore, every seventh day, stop all your work in every way. Don't even walk so many, for the law, so many feet from your house. Stop everything and pay attention. I want you to rest. To know that all 6 days that you worked, you're outworking that which I finished. And I don't want you to ever, ever forget what I am doing. Therefore, every seventh day, stop and rest. Every seventh year, stop for a whole year and rest. Every 50, anyway, don't keep going. You get the idea. 7, 7, 7. I want you to stop and rest. What are you helping? What are they supposed to be learning? It isn't that they can be tired, no. Remember, I don't want to lose the thought, but remember in Connecticut we had the blue laws? We had the blue laws. And Sunday, you want to go anywhere, the drugstore maybe might be open, a drugstore might be open. They're all closed. Everyone closes. Closed down. Wow. And then the blue laws, the sky storm came and we lost the blue laws. What happened to the sky? The blue sky's there, but the laws, we took them away. What do you want me to do? Every seventh, I want you to learn to rest. So that all 6 days, you are outworking that which I have in mind. You're outworking that in a most wonderful, wonderful way. And I don't want you to ever forget that. So when you go back to work on Monday or Sunday, for them back then, you go back, you're outworking what? And you stop every little bit to know that you're outworking God's wonderful plan and will for humanity, for your life on planet Earth, in order to honor and glorify his awesome person. You're going to do that. So you're going to do that all the way. Remember that seventh day. Now, having said that, that's what they were to understand. How many Jews understood that? How many people understood that? Therefore, jump to that which you know. Ephesians. Put the pieces together, even if you don't do it and don't understand it, let the pieces eventually, they'll all be one marvelous connecting piece. That's what you'll see. Wow. One piece. Now, Ephesians. And in chapter 2, remember, you're ahead of me, chapter 2. In verse chapter 2, going directly to verse 10. I'll read verse 9 so you see it, resting. Not of works, lest any man should boast. So it's nothing we're doing or thinking, outworking, I'm going to do this and that. We're disconnected from God, the world is. So we're all doing what we do and the way we do it and how we do it. Whatever it is, wars, rumors of wars, and work, home, rest, whatever we do. We do it. Disconnected from God. Verse 10. For it's not of works. Why not? Because. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Now, so God, what he got? Well, not our works. No, it isn't. God rested on the seventh day, created everything, set in motion to be outworked. And if we cooperate with God and see it, that's what's going to happen. For we are his workmanship, and we're created in Christ Jesus to what? For the outworking of the good works, which God hath ordained. Way back, foreordained, foreknown, foreset up. The picture was all done, the painting's done to our work. that we should walk and live in them. That's what we're doing. So we're to our work. They rested on the seventh day, Jews, in order to be reminded. So they go back, come the next week, and they keep doing. What are they outworking? God's wonderful plan for Israel. What are we doing? Israel rejected that. They aren't. Jews aren't doing that. They aren't. Israel isn't doing that. What's the church supposed to be doing? Walking, representing the plan. They're supposed to be showing rest, God's wonderful grace, but they aren't. They aren't resting. Who's resting? Who's resting? Who even understands us, right? And then you know, back to Hebrews chapter 4. And in Hebrews, and in chapter 4, and picking up if I can, and you'll see it, chapter 4, a little context, verse I'm going to read in if I can. Chapter 3, I want you to see what the point, what you read in chapter 12, wherefore let us run the race. So therefore why? What are we going to overcome the sin that wraps us up, that we can't get free? We're trying to get free, we can't do it. It surrounds us, it encompasses us, it locks us in. God already has prepared them, if they're reading, paying attention to Israel, etc. Chapter 3, verse 12. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of what? Unbelief. That's your problem. You're surrounded by unbelief, and you can't get out of it because it's your old nature. And your old nature, not by works, but your pride, you're locked in by unbelief, in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily. Verse 13, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Sliding down verse 19. So we see, chapter 3, verse 19, so we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. They couldn't do it. They couldn't do it. Chapter 4, what was the problem? Verse 1, let us therefore fear lest a promise being left us of entering into what? His rest. That's what's missing. You're missing why and how, what's this supposed to be doing on planet Earth? You're just missing the point. Because you got your life, your plan, and everything else. Anyway, so chapter 4, verse 1, entered into his rest. Any of you should seem to come short. You're going to miss it. For reason, unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. They heard the seventh day. They knew all this stuff. It's written. We read it. But what good did it do? What did the instruction book do if you didn't read it? You see, here's all these little buttons, and you're going to have all these buttons. And I do that sometimes because I don't understand what I'm doing anyway in the process. And I guess Jeanette has a phone with a slide your fingers around and stuff, whatever you do. And that rings. It rings pretty loud. It rings. And so I hear the phone ring, and I bring the phone and get the phone for Jeanette or something, even if she isn't there. And I let it ring because she said, just do this. And I look at the phone. I don't see anything. And I slide my fingers, X's and Y's and Z's, you know, and I put my whole hand on the phone. Wake up, wake up, wake up. It doesn't do anything. So I put the phone down, etc. So I push all the buttons, I get all the buttons and different things. I don't know what button it is. You probably have done it, maybe. I don't know. You're not, probably not that dumb. Anyway, in the problem, here's all the buttons. Something has to make this go, so I push all the buttons. You'll see all the buttons. And I push all the buttons. I do all that. I do. Wow. I need to rest. I need to rest. Because the booklet is written to tell you what each button means. God has given us his word. It isn't going to be any button you place in here. Button, 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 button. There's no buttons you're pushing in here. No, it's by faith out here. By faith, we got to go. That's what the whole point is. You got to walk by faith. How are you going to please God? So, and therefore, we miss the rest. We missed it. It's his rest. Israel missed the rest. They didn't enjoy the Sabbath. Do you know? In fact, I don't know. I don't know if it's anywhere recorded or not happened. Is there any time in Israel's history that they took a whole year off? A whole year, Sabbath year, every 7 years, 7 years. They took a whole year and never touched the garden, never had to do anything. God provided in the sixth year everything enough for the seventh year. So they never had to do anything except rest for a whole year. I don't know ever if they ever did. They never were in the place to do it. So God, so with that in mind, good thought. Therefore, verse 3, for we which have believed do enter into the rest, as he said, as I have sworn in thy wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. They were all done. I'm not painting a new painting. I'm not doing a new thing. I'm not there. You come along. I say, well, I was born, and that's right. You're born and given. Here we are. And God has no account for you. There's no way for you to be born without being in that picture. And everything is covered. But we don't enjoy it because we don't know God. We don't honor God. How are we going to honor God? By faith. So sliding down, if I can, to verse, as you know, without doing it all, but verse 8. If Jesus had given them rest, then he would not, he would not afterwards have spoken of another day. He would have never spoken of another day because they arrived. They got it, but they didn't get it. So therefore, didn't get it. Hang on, put it together. Hang on to that thought. They didn't get it. Hold your finger right here. Chapter 11. And you will know, chapter 11, when we did it, verse 40, God, 11:40, God having provided some better thing for us, that they, without us, should not be made perfect, complete, finished. They didn't have everything. They didn't have it. It didn't happen for them. It could have happened, but it didn't. Therefore, chapter 4, verse 9, there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For reason, he that is entered into his rest, not our rest, he also has ceased from his own works as God did from his. God rested in the seventh day. And you're resting. And now what are you going to do, God? We're going to go and run the race. But you can't run the race without resting. You're going to run the race because you're resting in that which is already planned. God's will for your life, and you're resting in it. And now God, with great fervor, chapter 12, verse 11 and 12 and 3, don't ever think, I'm dead serious, said God. The painting has to be outworked. And if you don't understand that, I'm going to make it very clear to you. Deny yourself, take up your cross daily, and follow me, because it's dead serious. That's what I'm doing. I'm not doing something else. Now, either you follow that, no, then you won't have it. They entered not into his rest. I got to quit. Well, I hope you got a little bit. Are you getting? I'm trying to help you understand. Why are you going to run? And why is God so strongly saying, you had better understand what it means to be saved? People don't understand, but they didn't go to church, I did my duty. No, it's not about that. It's about you understanding a unique relationship to God that has to be outworked for his honor and glory. And either you participate, like Israel could have, but they didn't, but they will. The world doesn't want to participate. The church is supposed to be the example of participating in God's wonderful plan, but they aren't. But they are supposed to be. That's what it's about. That's why at the judgment seat, Bema seat of Christ, the church, believers, real believers, are going to end up. The wood, hay, and stubble is all gone. They aren't going to have anything. Chapter 1 Corinthians 3, verse 15, they're saved as by what? Fire. That's all they have. That's all they got. Could have had. Wonderful plan. But we pride. Back to Hebrews 12, 1, 2. It's our pride. God has a wonderful plan. So we go to work, we go to school, we eat and drink and whatever we have to do as people and just being alive. And get, if you were in China, you'd have to live like the Chinese and have whatever, rice. And if you live in Italy, you have to have spaghetti, whatever you do. And you go wherever you go, as you do. And you eat and drink and put it together. Chapter 10, 1 Corinthians 10. Verse 31, whatever we eat or drink, we're to what? To do it to the glory of God. A normal life, in an ordinary life, in an extraordinary way. Ordinary. That's what's wonderful about the extraordinary. It's ordinary. Whatever you eat or drink, to my glory. Together. Understanding God sitting at the table with you, whether you're there or not. God's always there. I got to quit. Are you getting it? Anyway, thank you for that. I thank God.